they were pushing the mandate in order to weed out the human bodies in law enforcement, in the medical field, in the food industry, you know, in the grocery stores. These were pushes because they're not going to need. And this goes back to Harare, where, you know, whether people call him evil or not, the man is saying what's coming. He's telling you this is what's coming. You have to take that. He's not creating that. He is not creating the technology. He's telling us the technology that's already there and where it's headed in the fourth industrial revolution, because they have been meeting at world summits for a very long time. They're just not showcased. But these are like there.
They tell you exactly what's going on, and it's almost unbelievable, so you discount it. It's like, yeah, right, buddy.
Correct.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to be a machine. Sure, pal.
Right. No, it's exactly right. When they said that they're going to have, there was one woman that I was listening to where she's getting freaked out. She actually said, and I heard this a long time ago, but again, you poo-poo it, right? There's terms like mind virus, or and that's like technology driven, right? But they were saying that the predictive nature with your smartphone, it's like it could almost read your mind. And I'm hearing this from more and more people. And this one woman, she said she's really starting to get freaked out by it, because, you know, it's predictive if you start typing in, right? But sometimes the predictive return is almost eerie, because it's like, how did it know that that was what I was going to type in?
Yeah, like whenever I type, we need, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I type in, like, my wife says, send me a list you need from the store. So I type in, we need, and the rest of it says, to blow up something. Because I always said, people, we need to blow this place up. We need to blow that place up.
Yeah, right, speaking, there you go.
Of course, I'm speaking metaphorically. But, yeah. You know, and it fills in these things. And, like, it's finally learned the word fuck instead of duck. I'd say, you know, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And it would say, you have to be ducking kidding me. And I was like,
I know.
I said to my phone, you'll learn. You'll figure it out. And it did. No, and you wonder what's happening here. I think an overall question I have as a guy who's not a young buck, and perhaps an overall question for some of the young folks who are bright and understand they're not on the most fantastic path like we were when we were their age. Where can you go to hide? Where is there a safe space for us somewhere? A state, a county, you know, this kind of thing.
Well, what I would suggest is to find the town on the map or the county in the state that has the most like-minded people. You have some staying power. Now, again, in 8 years, we're all going to be 8 years old. People in their 90s may not be here. People in their 80s might not be here in 8 years, and so on and so on. But as they're moving from 2030 to 2050, you have to think, as the younger people come up, they are very on board with the high-tech world. And I think I said last week, even my county, which was shocking, they actually had a discussion about zoning for tiny houses. So if that's happening here.
You talked about that last week.
Right. If that's happening here, that has to be happening in small towns across this country. It has to be. So, and again, that's another goal of sustainability. And they're gearing that more towards, you know, my generation and up to downsize. You don't need all the square footage. You don't need this. You don't need that. You don't need all the material belongings. And your life will, that's what they mean. You will own nothing and be happy, is that you will be less burdened. You will have more time to enjoy life if you want to go play golf or tennis or ride a bike.
I need more leisure time.
That's what they're painting. You know, the picture that they're trying to paint for you.
But yeah, they're not telling you that you'll be leisurely enjoying your life in a camp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where are you going to live? If you don't own anything, where are you going to live?
You're going to live in this is the goal of the future.
Okay. I mean, I'm interested in tackling this. If you don't own anything, that means you're renting somewhere. And if you're not renting
somewhere, everything is going to be a service.
If you're not renting somewhere, okay, that means you're living like in a place like where I grew up, where it's subsidized government housing, one way or the other. Section 8, mm-hmm. maybe they'll call it Section mm-hmm. 9.
mm-hmm.
Something correct. Like that.
Correct.
It's not fun. It's a, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. No, you won't. There'll be crime. There'll be chaos. Just like when I grew up.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. In their dystopian world, because that's really what they're built. They want you to think that it's going to be a paradise, that you won't be burdened by anything. Everything will be a service industry. No matter, you don't need to hoard your house. It was that article we went over, what life will be like in 2030. We went over that months ago, where, you know, if you needed something, you know, like Amazon's here in a couple hours, you know, if you need that big pasta pot for company tonight, it could be to your doorstep in 15 minutes. And when you're done with it, you know, some drone will pick it up and, you know, away it goes. This is what they're envisioning. But in the surveillance state that they're envisioning, now, again, they're way off, because as we have talked about, the technology here and now sucks. Our phone reception sucks. Ordering a hamburger at certain joints suck. They did just talk this week about the 5G in rural areas. Well, we knew that was coming. They've already talked about that because, again, the trial run with Schemedemic and the telemedicine was how do you service the people living in rural areas that don't have, you know, the ability to zoom into their telemed. But they're building this, okay? 2 years ago was, you know, let's see how far we can get. Will people be able to school from home? Will people be able to work from home? And now they pretty much have an idea of what they have to tweak and build, et cetera. But if we're going to go strictly off the China model, which we know they're using with the social credit score, we already have the corporate score with the people score. What crime? Because everything's monitored. Everything you do is monitored. They'll cut you off to your universal basic income in the future. So you can live in a tenement-style subsidized property, but everybody's going to be the same, like human robots. It's not living. That's why we talked about this. I don't know what we talked about it, where I said we're going backwards instead of forward, where coming up through the ages, the goal was for each generation to do better than the one before it and you know, have the home, the land, the white picket fence, you know, et cetera.
No, it's weird.
But now, what?
I come to see Sarah Connor. Remember this? I come to see Sarah Connor. This is what it is. It's like Skynet. So you think these cats back in the day were laughing at us when they came out with the Terminator. Klaus Schwab was like, he was on the set of the Terminator explaining how things should really look. And I mean, this
Terminator,
guy,
Matrix, yeah. Right. I Am Legend, right. I Am Robot. We could go on and on and on. So, yeah, that's what they're building. But really, you could just go look at some videos the way China has been living for a while. I can see you cannot access parts of town. You can't get into your apartment building without your face. You can't have company. I mean, so if you're invited a friend over, Let's say that friend has a terrible credit score, social credit score. They might not be allowed to visit you. I mean, some of the things I've watched are mind-blowing, and some of the people actually love it because where they live is, you know, the crime is minimal, and they do go out of their way to humiliate you because there's big cameras all around the streets and you know, screens, television, whatever kind of screen, projection screens. And like if you were to jaywalk, your face would show up in the middle like of Times Square. They have no problem doing that. And then you can get better scores, like if you ride on your neighbors who, you know, maybe didn't pick up their dog crap. And they use like a report number. But we're doing that here. Even in Philadelphia this week, when they put the mask order back in on ABC Action News, it said, call this number.
If you see somebody not complying.
Correct.
Yeah.
But they were doing that in 2020, which, again, it was a little trial, and we were all outraged. And all of the Karens were reporting. And then, okay, everything quieted down for a little bit. All right. Well, now here we go again. We're going to ramp it up. And we're going to report businesses that are not complying with the mask mandate. So it's being encouraged. They go forward, they pull it back. They go forward. They're training up the people to where they will normalize this behavior. Now, as the older generations die off, and we're 8 years down the road into 2030, and then we're moving on, the younger generation is going to think this is completely normal.
One of the ways I'm figuring this is to, we talked about it a little bit on the road and with some other folks when we weren't on the road, is that maybe families and friends have to pool their resources together and go find a place, a ranch with some land, you know, where you can be like, well, you know what, we got our own thing going here. Why don't you go fuck with somebody else? And where you could have your, if they're going to have their little, you know, fantasy land, you can run your own little fantasy land too. I mean,
I think that's a great idea.
That's one of the ways enough people can do it. Because, you know, land is, it continues to be abundant. We just witnessed that driving around. And if things get bad, well, then that's the time. Start looking at it because it'll be cheaper.
No, interest rates
and stuff. I mean, you're in real estate, right? It's been like a gold rush to sell your house now. You get ridiculous amounts of money for it. But with interest rates now at a national average of 5% for mortgages, that gold rush is, somebody just dammed up the well. There's no water flowing. You can't pan for gold in many cases with a 5% mortgage interest rate. And so prices are going to come down and less people are going to buy. And now it's going to become really a buyer's market instead of a seller's market. Am I incorrect?
For the first time.
Well,
I'm
forgetting about BlackRock and these other places. BlackRock is not buying land per se. They're buying, you know, dwellings. They're buying apartment complexes, cluster housing.
But that's the other thing I wanted to point out was Glory had put something out about living in a shed or there was an article and it said dwelling and units. And I responded that we need to pay attention to the language when we're moving into this, you know, transhumanism, robotic world. I'm noticing they're changing a lot of words. Like, instead of calling it a home, your home. Like, you know, they all saying a house is not a home. You have to make it a home, a house, until you make it a home. Now they're using the word dwelling or unit. And it hit me that a few years ago, I started to notice some millennials refer to their families as their unit. Have you ever heard that?
I even get home to the unit. I mean, they're expecting
me. No, I don't know if this is like video game culture, But I have heard.
You know, who in their right fucking mind would call your family your unit? I mean, you know, Frank
Zappa. Well, younger people.
Frank Zappa named his kid Space Unit.
But, well, this is what I'm saying. But you're going to start to see it in print. Because I was on a site that does frictionless living, where they have these fancy apartment complexes. And by frictionless, they mean, you know, you don't have to do anything. You know, we do everything for you. And it's no touch living. And they refer to things as dwellings. So, again, the words are changing. They're trying to, you know, predictive program the future. But you're right. BlackRock isn't buying land. Well, Bill Gates is buying up land, but...
Yeah, but I mean, there's... I mean, we look at it, right? It's funny. The guys here, they love... I don't know what it is. So, like, when I was a kid, I used to like to look through... J.C. Whitney had this car catalog, all car parts. It was like, you know, almost like as thick as a J.C. Penney catalog, but it was all car parts. It was real small print. They had pictures of it. And I loved working on cars and building cars. So when I was like 12, I would look through catalogs. I'm not fucking bitching and moaning, but we didn't have any money. So I look at catalogs like, wow, that's cool. Wow. It's almost like, you know, going to making a Christmas list you're never going to get. Wow, that's cool. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, I don't even know what I'm going to say. I lost my point. What were we talking about before that?
BlackRock buying up land.
I don't know.
And Bill Gates, no, but Bill Gates buying up land and how BlackRock is not buying land.
I don't know.
I was talking about dwellings and units.
How
they're trying.
I got nothing.
Okay. It'll come back to you. Okay. So here's what
this is Thursday, Mike.
I get it.
You know, 250,000 words in of the week or something like that. So give me a break.
Well, you were asking if prices are going to come down because interest rates are going up, and that's normally the tradition.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I got it. I'm back. I used to like to look at these catalogs, right? And I knew I couldn't afford these things. But the young bucks, they look at land. They love looking at real estate. They look at these things like for sale by owner and all these things. And land all across the country in different states. And so they're looking at it all the time. And they're like, yo, check this out. And they send me stuff. I'm like, oh, this is crazy, man. Like, you know, this is 100 acres. This is 500 acres. This is 1,500 acres. They like doing that, like I used to like looking at car part magazines, you know what I mean? And so
right.
I know what's out there. And so I'm not just saying, oh, there's a lot of land for sale, blah, blah. There is some good deals on land, and I would anticipate that those deals will get better in a buyer's market. So the problem is you got to perk it, you got to get power to it, you got to build a fucking house, and housing costs, building a house, that's up, so... There are challenges, right? But if you're going to buy 1,000 acres, let's say, and you're going to pool a lot of people's money together in your family or whatever, then you're not carrying the burden yourself. I know it sounds radical, but I mean, it seems like it might be.
It's really not, though. Yeah. It's really not. I mean, anything, the old saying stands true. Well, if there's a will, there's a way. And if there's enough people determined to have the same goal, well, absolutely. I mean, developers do it. How come developers can build towns within towns? They buy the land, they develop it, they put strip office buildings, they put a dollar store, whatever. You have three, we have a 55 and older community here, couple golf courses, 3,000 homes from single family homes to side by side, two little units. Because they kind of go from age 55, and then when you're 70, people downsize to the twins, and then if they're 90, they'll go into the smaller units. There's like 3,000 homes. In my town, it's a town within a town. So if a developer can envision it and build it, can't see why regular citizens can't get together and buy land and do the same thing. I do believe that's a very good possibility. As for a buyer's market, I would say this is the first time I really can't answer that, because what I'm feeling, and I don't know if I'm right, but what I'm feeling is back in the bad market, we knew we were flooded with short sales and foreclosures. So we had the glut inventory drove down not only those houses, but the poor homeowners. It drove down their resale value. So it was just a mess for a very, very, very long time. And now it's not. But then the asset managers wanted the stuff off their books. Now I feel they're not buying with the interest rate because they're buying cash. They don't care if the interest rate goes to 17%. If they buy a house for, say, $300,000, where in an older buyer's market it would have went down to, say, 150, half of that, let's say, all it does is inflate their book. Their portfolio is now worth more. If they pay, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I do. Okay. You can almost work it like a scam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is why we're not foreclosing on these properties, because we have this much in assets. As soon as you foreclose on some of those assets, they move to a different column. Right.
But I'm even talking about now, and I personally know many people trying to buy, and they're getting outbid, and it's just crazy town. Just crazy town. And what they are doing is they're doing what they said they were going to do. Like, I try to believe what they say. And even in 2020, when I came across all of this in early 2020, you do want to scoff at it, you know, and go, oh, God, you will own nothing and be happy. You know, you kind of want to not believe that. But then when you see it put to practice, you go, oh, shit, they're doing it. They're actively doing it. They are preventing folks from buying property.
Yeah.
And driving the cost.
It's funny. You don't really own the fucking property. Anyway, we had this conversation.
That's true.
So you really, right now, you own nothing and you're unhappy.
Correct.
The whole thing is, it's having young kids and trying to teach them coming up things they don't teach in school. And kids ask you a question like, well, wait a minute. Let's say you buy a $500,000 house. Let's just say. Because I work better with just simple numbers, right? And then what do you end up paying for that, Maria? Let's say over 30 years. What does it end up being, $900,000?
Exactly.
Something like that, right?
Oh, no.
So you're really buying $900,000. And then when you buy it, my young son says to me, well, then if you don't pay taxes, they can take it away from you, right? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, so you don't really ever own it because it's not yours. In other words, it's a perpetual fucking scam. If you paid $1 million over 30 years for this house, and then if you don't pay a $3,000 tax bill, they can take it away from you. So how the fuck do you own it? And I'm sitting there at the dinner table like, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I never really thought
of it. Well, and the goal is to try to figure out, and I say this to a lot of people, you know, freedom's been an illusion. Because when we are born, you are not free. You are registered somewhere. You are not a free person, right? So that first illusion at birth, at being free, free and clear, is an illusion, just that. Now, we all fell into the trap of what governments across the globe have done, is they, and it's funny now, they want to pull back on consumerism and consumption to save the planet after they created all the products and built all the big homes for the people to live in and extend credit to people that really can't afford it anyway. So if everybody actually lived within their means, we would all be living like Little House on the Prairie. Okay, because everyone's mortgage, it's a debt society. So, yeah, you don't own anything. But if everyone was like, oh, you know, we are going to live in our means. We are going to downsize to living, you know, as a four, you know, that little tiny house that might only cost $30,000. Well, now that's something you will own. But again, where's the land that you're going to put it on? You're never going to own that. So maybe the only thing you could ever own is an RV because it's on wheels and you can keep going.
Till the roof comes off, then you have to stop. Till the wheels fall off.
Exactly. Where is there a place that you could live with your paid-for tiny home?
I'll tell you. It's very, very fascinating that you brought that up. I didn't know anything about RVs. We get an RV, we go on the road, right? Mm-hmm. And we did that. And now I'm like getting all this stuff, reading about RVs and stuff. There are people who are saying, fuck off, and buying a $200,000, $300,000 RV. And these things are pretty fucking nice, man.
Oh, my father had one for 20 years.
Your old man had one. I mean, the tuna is like, you know, the tuna is not of the caliber of these big things that people think we're cruising around in some kind of concert bus. But, and they're saying, I don't have to pay anybody. I could pay you $7 a night, $8 a night. Mm-hmm. For folks that are in different clubs, you know, you can pay like, that's pretty good. You know, 10 bucks, think about 10 bucks a night. That's $300 a month. Mm-hmm. And that's less than what you pay in taxes for a big house. And they can go anywhere they want, do anything they want.
That's exactly
when
right.
When it's cold, you go somewhere when it's hot. And when it's, you know, you can, if you want to go somewhere where it's cold, you go somewhere where it's cold. And
As long as you have the money to keep the upkeep and the repairs on it, that is about all I could think of that you own free and clear.
And listen, that's why we can't get this thing fixed timely, because I talked to, you know, I talked to everybody, and the guy was like, talked to like the best place right around the corner from here. It just happens to be around the corner from here. And they're servicing places from like three different states. And he's like, there's so many people now driving RVs.
Yeah.
They don't want to fly. They're tired of all the bullshit. They just want to get up and go and control their environment. You know what I mean? And
that's right.
So you wonder if it's going to become like fucking Mad Max, people cruising around in these RVs and just, I'm a citizen of no state, you know?
Well, I felt like that prior to Corona. I'm one that, you know, always likes to be in control of everything. So I don't do well flying or, you know, everybody says, oh, flying, you know, it's a couple hours you're there. No, it's not. It's a couple hours before you have to be to the airport. And then if there's a delay in the flight, and then it's the flight. I mean, traveling is, it's not just 2 hours or 3 hours. There's a lot involved.
They've turned it into a freak show. I mean,
I want to get my vehicle and go.
Yeah, you used to be able to just show up at the airport, maybe 45 minutes, get on the flight and be like, whew, that was tight. Now it's 2 hours. You got to be there at least 2 hours beforehand. You're milling around. You're getting fucking felled up. Yeah. we went to the airport.
It's horrible.
A couple years ago when we were going to New Mexico, and we were waiting outside of security, you know, just kind of chilling out. Got like a sandwich or something. And we went through security, and we got near the plane. We're ready to board. And my son says, I left my coat, you know, in the concourse. I'm like, we're not fucking going through security again. Are you insane?
To buy you a new coat.
I said, we'll get you a new coat. He's like, that's my coat from high school, blah, 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 blah. So he went with my wife. I said, I'm not fucking doing it. Okay, I want to choke these guys out on a regular basis. I just saw these clowns, right? So they went back through, and the same lane and everything. It's a show. And the first time they cruised through, and the second time they were like, oh, wait, just step over here. It's like, oh, wait, we were just through here 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. What happened? They loaded up in the concourse. Now they're all carrying C4. I mean, the same people, the same exact fucking 15-minute block, and they were treated like terrorists. And I'm like, it's just a show, man. It's a shame.
It is.